reserves. I'm going to start from this side, and if you can just start with a little bit of a. Okay, let's go. Who can roll their R's? Ready? Go. Fantastic. And now I'm really going to embarrass my family. Everyone knows that Beyonce song, all the single ladies. You know, oh. Okay, so who can do that? Okie dokie. So my name is Marco. Okay, but there we go. But for those of you who can't do any of those cool moves, you can call me Marco. There we go. Awesome. All right, guys. If you didn't recognize me, I had a haircut this week. Yeah, looking sharp. Hey, I could clean up nicely. Clean up nicely. All right. So this morning, for those of you who don't know, I work on a wine estate. And if you will just give me a little bit of time, I just want to explain a little bit about the farm, a little bit about farming techniques, but I promise you I am going somewhere with this. So our farm is one of the oldest and one of the biggest wine farms in Stellenbosch. And it's changed ownership quite a few times over the last couple of years. But the one thing that has stayed consistent is the vineyard manager. That vineyard manager has been living and working on those vineyards for over 20 years. So you can imagine, he has his own way of doing things. He has a certain way that he has been doing it for so long, the same every single year. And shortly after our new owner bought the farm, he hired myself, and then we hired a French CEO. Now, being French, he didn't know anything about the South African farming setup, but he did come with a lot of experience. So what he did is he decided in the first year he was going to let the farm manager farm exactly the way he has been doing for over 20 years. But this CEO not only came with over 35 years worth of vineyard experience, but he also has a PhD in viticulture. So he has a doctorate in the study of vineyards. And so what he did is he allowed the farm manager to work the normal way for the first year. And then, after witnessing a full season, he then decided that that was the right time to then make a change. And the first thing that he changed was the trellising system. You can put the first slide up. So the trellising system is how the vineyards are grown between the poles, or you get bush vines and everything. There's a whole lot of different trellising systems. And each system is used in a particular way based on the grapes that you're growing and based on your use of those grapes and what you intend to use those grapes for. So in that first year, or at least when we started, the CEO and myself, our entire farm was on the double cordon system. So that double cordon system, as you can see, a lot of wine farms in South Africa use that system. You have the main stem, and from the main stem you have two canes, so you get this T-shaped. And what happens is every winter, when there is a pruning, you then go, or the farm manager and his team, they prune just above that T. So they prune it right there. And the vine is expected to grow from there up the wires, and they are trained, and that is how the branches grow to produce fruit. So in year two, the CEO decided that we needed to change the trellising system. And we changed the trellising system to the single guillot system. As you can see, vastly different from what we had. In fact, what we had to do is we had to cut back both of those canes all the way to the main stem. And you just leave one shoot. Now, the difference between this and the previous one was that this vineyard, this trellising system, actually requires the vineyard to first grow the single cane all the way across that bottom wire, and then from that bottom wire, grow up and grow branches. So it's a lot more demanding on the vineyard. So you can imagine that this change was a big change. In fact, it was a 45-hectare change for our farm. That's a lot of vineyards. And it was a big change for our vineyard manager. There's a saying about old dogs and new tricks. This old dog really struggled with this change. In fact, he actually fought against it in the beginning. He really struggled to comprehend the fact that he had been training, nurturing, and pruning these vines for over 20 years, and now he had to radically cut them back. But in the end, he had to rely on the viticulturalist with the PhD, the one who knew what he was doing, or knew more. But not only did the vineyard manager struggle, the vineyards struggled. So to put it in perspective, in a normal year, in that double cordon year, we would expect 280 tons of grapes to be harvested on our farm. In that first year, after cutting it back, we only got 160 tons. For those of you who like math, that is a 40% reduction. So the vineyards took a huge knock. The vineyards really struggled. But the one thing that they didn't do, most importantly, is they didn't die. They persevered. They pushed through the struggle. So then after the first harvest, winter came along and we had to prune the vines. And we had to prune the vines all the way back down to just leave one little shoot. And we required those vineyards the next spring and the next summer to grow that entire cordon wire and then grow up branches where it will produce fruit. And in that second year, our vines, those same vines that only produced 160 tons, produced 341 tons, over double the year before. And again, some more maths and statistics for you, 22% more than what would have been expected on the old system. The vines produced more fruit, fruit in abundance. And based on this, not only that, we are now having to assess our entire cellar. Our cellar is now not big enough to actually manage all the cellar. We are having to extend our cellar because of all these grapes, because of these this excess harvest that we are receiving. But not only that, this last year has been the best quality grapes we have ever seen come from those vines. So you may be asking yourself, well, what has this science lesson got to do with me? Or biology lesson? What does this biology lesson have to do with Jesus? I'm talking about vines. So a verse that you might all know very well tells us about how Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches that then are grafted into him and abide by him. John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it will bear more fruit. So you see, in our scenario at the farm, our vineyards didn't have a choice. They were radically pruned based on the viticulturalist's knowledge. But it was based on his knowledge as well as his desire to see those vineyards grow in abundance. And in the end, even though they struggled for 1 year, in the end, those vineyards saw a harvest, a reward. And the same thing is for us. You see, the vine dresser tells us in John 15, we will be pruned, even though it feels uncomfortable, even though it's sometimes painful. It will happen. But the word tells us that there is a reason for this pruning, a reward, a harvest in abundance. So church, pruning is inevitable. We don't have to wait for it. It's not unexpected. But what we do have is we have two choices. Just amazing how one of the words that came up this morning was also two choices. We have two choices when it comes to our pruning. We can either wait and allow those branches to become overgrown, allow those branches to grow in the wrong direction, or possibly even get to a point where those branches stop producing fruit. And then God will prune us. Or, and this is the or, this is the good news, church. You do have a second option. We can welcome the pruning. We can partner with the vine dresser as he prunes us. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24 says, "Search me, God." This is an invitation. This is saying, "Lord, come and look at me. Come investigate. Is there anything in my heart or in my mind or in my walk with you that is grievous or offensive to you?" Psalm 26, verse 2, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind." So you see, we can invite the Father in. We can ask him, "Come, show me what needs to be pruned in my life." But much like that word that came last week, we need to walk in obedience. Once the Father shows us what needs to be pruned, we need to walk alongside him and actually walk it out. We need to action it. Otherwise, it's useless. Now, it might seem a little bit counterproductive, and we all know that's how God's world is. It's very upside down. To take a branch that is producing fruit and to still prune it. But as we've read here, and as we've seen in the actual example that we had on the farm, if the vine is pruned at the right time, in the right place, and by the right person, that branch will grow even stronger and produce abundant fruit, more fruit, and healthier fruit. So what better person to prune us than God the Father? Pruning is an essential part of a believer's life, reflecting God's desire for his children to grow in holiness and bear abundant fruit. Through this process, believers are shaped into the likeness of Christ, equipped to fulfill their divine purpose and bring glory to God. So from this, we can understand that pruning is inevitable. Pruning can be welcomed. And pruning is a necessary process for fruitfulness. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask us a question. Who would like to be fruitful in their life? We all do. We all want to be fruitful. So how are we pruned? Because we're not actually vineyard branches. It wasn't a question. Thank you, John. We are pruned through the Word. In 2 Timothy 3, it tells us about how God's Word, or the Word, is God-breathed. The word that we read in the Bible, those words are a written word that is God's heart and mind. The Bible is alive and active. We need to spend every day in his word. But not only that, because of the relationship that we have with the Lord, we can ask him to send his Spirit, and we can ask that Holy Spirit to give us a revelation of what we are reading in the Word. Sometimes we read a verse 20 times, 30 times, 100 times, and it means nothing. And on the 101st time, the Holy Spirit can give you that revelation, and that word is just going to hit differently. But the main thing is that when that word hits us, we need to walk in obedience with the Lord once he points out what needs to be pruned. So we are pruned by the word. We are also pruned by trials. James 1, verse 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy." Say joy. Say woohoo. Joy. It's exciting. It sounds weird, but the Lord is saying to us that we need to consider it pure joy. We need to be excited when there is pruning, whenever we face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that is why we need to find the joy in these trials, because we know the ending. We know what the purpose of this trial is. It is to make me more mature and complete in Christ. So church, we are going to have financial difficulties. We are going to have sickness. We are going to have setbacks. But why do we have these trials? Because God said so. Like every parent says, your father said so. You will have trials. There we go. Find the joy in the trials. But you see, these trials can be used by God. Nothing is for nothing. Just like Mac preached 2 weeks ago, he spoke about where if we might suffer rejection, we need to see that as an opportunity to lean into the Lord, to turn to the Lord, to find our value in the Lord. You see, trials are an opportunity to grow our relationship with Him. So when that financial difficulty comes, when that sickness comes, yes, this is exciting. I now have the opportunity to lean even deeper, to forge my faith and deeper my dependence on God. These trials can also be a sense of nudging. So as we're going through life, God might look into our hearts, even if we don't ask Him to. He will look into our hearts and He will see something that grieves Him. Something that is not a good representation of Him. Something that is unholy. And He might nudge us. Hey, go and check this out. He wants us during those nudges to lean on Him so that we will grow in all maturity. But if we don't listen to those nudges, we allow those branches to become overgrown, to grow in the wrong direction, and to possibly even grow and stop bearing fruit. And that is when the Lord's discipline comes. So friends, I really want to encourage you, really lean into those trials, lean into those nudgings. Because even though pruning is tough, pruning is uncomfortable, they are not as ana as discipline from the Lord. Don't let it get to the point where you are no longer producing any fruit. Rather prune the fruit you have to grow healthier and stronger fruit. And the third and final point, we are pruned by people. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. You see, a friend loves us enough to speak into our life, to actually have those hard conversations with us. But please understand what I'm saying here. I am not giving us all free license to just go to everyone in the congregation and give them our opinion of what they are doing wrong. What I'm saying here is that we as a body, we need to be teachable. We need to be receptive to our leaders speaking into our lives. The three areas of doctrine, discipline, and direction are areas that are reserved for elders to speak into each other's, into the saints' lives. Like Rudy preached last week, accountability is key for us to run our Christian race. And that is why accountability and being within the body is so important. We can love each other enough to have those tough conversations, to speak the truth in love, and to help each other identify the branches that need to be pruned. Our walk with the Lord can never not involve our brothers and sisters. So friends, take this opportunity to find someone in the body who is a leader, someone who is a mature Christian, who you can go to and you can walk alongside with. Accountability is so important. Then Lindy, if you can come up, please. And then just in closing, pruning is inevitable. Let us not wait until our branches are overgrown. Let us not wait until that discipline has to come, because that discipline is Anah. The Lord is building his church, and he is making his bride radiant. So I want to encourage each and every one of you, including myself, let's invite the Lord into our lives to prune. Let's welcome the pruning. Because if we partner with the Lord, we will in the end see a fruitful harvest. Let's be quick to respond when there is nudgings in our life, when the Lord nudges us through trials, through the word, through people. Let us heed that nudge. Because if we heed that nudge and we allow the Lord into our lives, that pruning, although uncomfortable, will lead to a successful harvest. Why don't you close your eyes? Dear Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we have a relationship with you where we can walk alongside you, that we can welcome you, that we can invite you into our lives, and we can say, search me, Lord. Identify areas in my life, Lord. We thank you. There's just two sets of people I want to speak to this morning. And if there is a pruning in your life currently, if you are going through a trial, if you are experiencing pruning right now, I want to pray with you for a renewing of strength, a renewing of grace, a fresh perspective, God perspective, of what he is doing in your situation. A fresh supply of joy, perseverance, so that you can see that trial and that you can understand the end result of that trial. So if that is you, if you are experiencing a trial at the moment and would like an infilling of joy, an infilling of that grace, don't you just want to stand where you're sitting right now? Thank you. Thank you. If there are areas in your life where you are struggling, your marriages, your finance, parenting your children, if those areas are a struggle for you, maybe the Lord is using this as an opportunity to prune you. If those areas are a struggle for you, don't you just want to stand so that we can pray for a fresh revelation? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then for the rest of us, and I speak for myself here, if after hearing what you've heard this morning, and you are excited, there is joy in your heart to know that even though pruning is tough, there is a reward at the end. And you are in a position where you want to say, Lord, come and search me right now. If you want to invite the Lord into your heart right now to come and identify areas that need pruning, won't you stand with me? I am standing now saying, Lord, come. Search me, Lord. Help me identify anything that is grievous towards you. Anything that is unholy, Lord. Will you speak to me, Lord? Speak to me through your word. Speak to me through trials. Speak to me through the body, through the people in the congregation. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we just ask that you will come right now. Lord, we know that you are in this place. Lord, come and fill each and every one of us who is standing this morning. Lord, fill those who are going through trials. Fill them with a fresh sense of joy, a fresh sense of revelation, perseverance, a God perspective of what you are doing in their lives. Lord, come and fill them with grace. We thank you for your mercy, Lord Jesus. And for those of us who are standing and saying, Lord, come and search me. Identify areas, Lord. Help me to become more Christ-like. Help me to become more like you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for this privilege that we have to come and stand before you. Surrender our lives at your feet and know that you are such a gracious, loving God, that you will receive us with so much grace and mercy, so much love, that we do not have to feel any shame, any condemnation in bringing our lives before you and saying, Lord, prune me. Make me more like Christ. Lord, and we just thank you that as you are working in each and every one of us individually, Lord, that we are, or that you are working in us as a body. Lord, we thank you that this vineyard, I just picture these chairs now. It's in a perfect row like the vineyards on the farm. We are the vineyard block. So Lord, come and prune this vineyard block. Prune this vineyard block so that we can grow as a congregation, Lord. That we can grow for you, Lord. Bring lost souls into our congregation. Bring visitors, Lord. Lord, you are preparing your church. You are preparing your bride. So as a congregation, Lord, we stand and we say thank you for this pruning. in this place, I just want to give anyone an opportunity. If you don't know or haven't until now known the vine dresser, known the vine dresser's desire for you to grow spiritually, if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus before, but after this morning you want to, if there's a pounding in your chest, won't you just raise your hand so that we can celebrate and pray with you? Thank you, Lord.